Good morning. It is a rainy day for sure. We had a baptism last week. If you were here, you saw the baptism, and that was Trinity. Where's she at? All right, now the goal, I just want everybody told me, now is she going to be able to reach up and get one of those light bulbs? If we got to get a booster ladder or whatever? But there are the 21 bulbs goes across and down some. So, Trinity, why don't you come on up here? Yes. Baptism's now or 2 weeks. You can go up and turn one of those light bulbs. Yep, that's part of the baptism now. Yeah, she did it. And here you go. Good. All right, hon. Great. So baptisms now. You get baptized on Sunday, and the following Sunday we expect you to be here so we can give you the certificate, and you get to turn the bulb. Now we're at 3. Got about 18 more to go. But what is impossible with man is possible with God, right? Luke 1:37 says, therefore there is nothing impossible for God. It is Mother's Day. I'm going to make sure I don't mess this up. So mothers are special, amen? And your mothers out there, and mothers are a gift. And not every relationship with a mother is always the greatest. Sometimes things don't always pan out the way we plan. But listen, you have a mother, and you only have one. Some mothers have passed on. And so we have memories of our mothers. But today we celebrate Mother's Day. And it is mothers are God's blessing, as we read a little bit from what Chris had read earlier. So mothers, we wouldn't be here without you. Let me just take a moment real quick. Does anybody want to say anything about their mother? You can just stand up and say something real quick. I wasn't planning on it, but I'll give you that opportunity. Do that once in a few years. If you want to stand up and say something, they don't have to be here. Whoa. Okay. Anybody else? None?
I think it's mostly the same. My mom has been my wife at the house. No matter what I grew up for 10 years, I always enjoyed it. Doesn't mean she ever crap about anybody. She stood there beside me. They're always there. They always are. My mother's always there. No matter what you think, they're always going to be in the back. That's what I do. The brunch of this world, she said, I can take you out.
Yes, Carl. Yeah, when you kind of get in trouble, all your friends leave you. A lot of sometimes family leaves you, but the one that's in the room, it kind of sticks there many times, is the mother. So, Ashley, where's Ashley at? Oh, yeah. So we're going to go ahead and do this thing.
You have some succulents up here. They're pretty hard to kill. So if you're not a, you know, plant person, green thumb, you probably won't kill it. As long as you're not purposely trying to. There are little sheets up here for your little plant care. You really only have to water them like once a month. Amber's been watering hers like once a month, and hers are doing just fine. So it says every 2 to 3 weeks. And then I know the children in the Sunday nights, the kids wrote little notes and little candies for you moms. So if you guys want to come up and grab one, these are for you. So any mamas, y'all are more than welcome to come pick. Each one of them is a little different. So pick the one you like. First come, first serve.
So my question is, now that you got these candy kisses and you'll probably be eating them during service, and you'd like to keep a clean house, I'm wondering, how many of you are going to lay those around in the pews? All right. It's always good to have holidays and makes certain things and people important. And so mothers are important. But I don't preach them. Usually I don't preach a Mother's Day or a Father's Day. I always struggle with those, staying in the block. I feel like we praise the moms and beat up the dads. And that's why the dads don't like to come on Father's Day, because we just beat them up so hard, I guess. But I'm not going to do that. But I am going to talk to you today about plans, God's plans, our plans, and those kind of things. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 this morning. And I want to talk to you a little bit about Paul has some plans. This is an area that we don't really preach much in. It talks about his travel plans, but there's some good stuff in there that I think that we can learn from, and I know that I have, and I will continue to. And we're going to look at this morning about Paul's plans, because we know that God has plans too. And so as we are diving into 1 Corinthians chapter 16, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. We pray, Father, that your word would break into our hearts and into our spirit, Lord, today, that we may learn from your word, that we may grow in it, that we might push other things aside and take these few minutes that we have together and open in your word to learn, to grow, and become that individual that you called us to be. And we ask you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. So what we see here now is we see Paul is coming to the end of this book, this letter of Corinth, and end of all these epistles, all these letters. We see that there's kind of this end of the letter talking about individuals, thinking individuals, a little bit about planning. And there's not a lot of messages that come out of some of these. But this one here we're going to look at, and Paul has some plans. But I want to talk to you about how God's plans and how things are working here. He says in verse 5, he says, I will come to you after I pass through Macedonia, for I will be traveling through Macedonia. Perhaps I will remain with you or even spend the winter so that you may send me on my way wherever I go. I do not want to see you now just in passing, for I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord allows. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, because a wide door of effective ministry has been opened for me, yet many oppose me. If Timothy comes, see that he has nothing to fear from you, because he is doing the Lord's work just as I am. Therefore, no one should look down on him. Send him on his way in peace, and so he can come to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. And about our brother Apollos, I strongly urge him to come to you with the brothers, but he was not at all willing to come now. However, he will come when he has an opportunity. Be alert, stand firm in the faith, act like a man, be strong. Your every action must be done with love. We see this little piece here that we just kind of, when we're reading over scripture, we're like, okay, I got the meats and I got the stuff that I needed from the book of Corinthians, and so I just move forward and go on and just kind of skim through this. But there are some good pieces that are in here. What Paul is doing is Paul is making some plans. In ministry and in the church, we need to make plans. You need to make plans. God has plans for you, but we need to make plans. Every one of us, we need to make plans in our life. It gives us purpose. It gives us things that we need to do and accomplish. God set those things for us to do that. And one of the things he says, I do not want to see you now in passing, for I hope to spend some time with you. And he says, if the Lord allows. Here's a part of him. Here's a man that is a strong believer. He's a leader. Paul is amazing. But here's a part here. Even him, he says, these are my plans, but if the Lord allows. If the Lord allows. So many of us make plans and we don't involve the Lord. We don't let the Lord be a part of our plans. The only part of the planning that we have is, Lord, put your stamp of approval on what I want to do, and then I feel good about it. But here he's saying, if the Lord allows. So when we say, well, if the Lord allows, what we're doing is we're putting the planning. Yeah, we're making planning. We're praying through planning. Sometimes you don't spend much time praying over planning. You just make some plans. You're going to do something. But he allows the Lord to be a part of his planning. You see, some of us just allow God to be a part of our Sunday morning worship, and then the rest of the week is ours. Sometimes we allow God to be a part of Wednesday night too, or maybe another thing that we do. But during those times, this is the scary part of what we're seeing in the culture of Christianity today. I'm going to let God do God when I'm in God's stuff. But when I'm doing my stuff, God needs to stay over there. Because I don't need him pressing me. I don't need him pushing me. I don't need him involved in my stuff because I don't want the conviction. I don't want him changing up my plans. Well, here we see that this is not what Paul does. Paul is saying, listen, this is if God allows in all the things that I do, even in the planning of coming and making a visit. So that's the first piece we look at. We see if the Lord allows. But then he says, but I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost. That's part of his plan. I'm going to do that right now. This is what I'm doing right now. Because a wide door for effective ministry has been open for me. Yet, many oppose me. Sometimes we think when we're doing the Lord's will, we're doing something, God's opened a door, that we're not going to have any bumps. Let me tell you, when God opens the door of opportunity, look out, that's when the bumps come. That's when those who oppose come. That's when you have resistance. That's when you have fusses and arguments. That's when you have someone to come up and try to bump you off of what God is calling you to do. And how. But here we see Paul is standing there. He said, God has opened up a wide door. It's so big, I can't help it. I can't help it. It's for effective ministry. I'm going to do that. And he's opened it for me. And then I've got to walk through that door. But he says, many oppose me. You know, when you want to do something for the Lord, you know, the first thing, not everybody gives you a, hey, you can do this. Many of those who are believers but don't put God first, they're the first ones to tell you not to do it. There's a jealousy in ministry, I want to tell you. There is a very strong jealousy in ministry. But Paul is in a place right here that he says, a wide door of effective ministry. There's a lot of ministry that's not very effective. And he says, seeing results. And God's opened it for me, but I know that there's people that oppose me. Not just a few, but many. I want to share something with you in Revelations, one of the Church of Philadelphia. And we know there's seven churches. One of my favorite areas in Scripture, but when it comes to the church area, but just a couple verses here. He says, I write to the angel of the church of Philadelphia in chapter 3, verse 7. So what's going to happen is each one of these churches, I'm not going through all these, I'm just going to go just a little piece here. The Lord is going to say either some things that are good, say some things that are not good, or a little bit of both, and how to fix it, and what happens to those who don't get it right. We're just going to look at this, just the beginning piece here, because this is an amazing piece. I've always loved this piece here. So he says, the Holy One, the true one, the one who has the key of David. Uses the one who has the key of David because key opens things. And here we see this because, the key of David, who opens and no one will close, and closes and no one opens. So what he's saying, he says, I am a key holder. Jesus is a key holder, if you didn't know that. He holds the keys. When you hold the keys, you're boss. So he opens up, he can open up the doors that nobody else can open, and he closes doors that no one else can close. And Paul is saying, a wide door has been opened for effective ministry. What this is saying is, he's saying, the Lord has opened up a door that no one else can open. Now I'm going to go through this. And I know that there's going to be people who oppose me. And that's okay. Because even in this letter, there are people that oppose as well. But we're not going there. We're going to stay in this small thing. He says, I know your works. Let me tell you, the Lord knows all of our works, where we are. He don't get fooled by, oh, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. He watches how we are. He looks at the heart, but he also looks at the hands and the feet. What are you doing with the life that I give you? I redeemed your life, took it from all those things we were just singing about, cold, steel, chains, all that, release. He gave us that freedom. Now he's calling us to serve him, and he knows who's really wants to serve and who doesn't. But he looks at this, and this is to the church. He says, I know your works, because you have limited strength. God knows what we can do as a church and what we can't do in our own strength. He knows that. He knows what you can do and what you can't do in your own strength. He knows that. He says, you have limited strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Then he says, look, I have placed before you an open door that no one is able to close. That no one is able to close. Huh. Listen, if God's calling you to go into a door and you're scared, let me tell you, you're not going in there because you're not going to go in there by accident. God is there with you. He'll walk with you through that door. Whatever it may be, whatever he's calling, whatever he's moving you to, in the plans that he has for you, those open doors are there to walk through, not to look at. What we had back around, I want to say around 2000, maybe 5 or 6, we were across the street and we had a revival service. And I think TB did the revival there. And he did a night on marriage. And we were going through this revival. And it was after the marriage one that he preached on marriage. He said, Jimmy, I think I know what's happening here. I was like, well, what's going on? He says, your people love to look into the room. And they look and see what it is, and they go, nope, not doing that. Couples look into the room. No, I'm not doing that. He says the church looked into the what revival really was, and then they poked their heads back in, and they shut down. We do that with God all the time. But we shouldn't. We need to take advantage. When God opens the door, it doesn't mean it's going to be open forever. We should walk through that door. So he says, I'm going to stay in Ephesus because this door has been opened to me. That's what I'm going to do. I must walk through that door. Then he says this. He goes, now if Timothy comes. Now Timothy is a young guy. So they kind of don't look. This is why you always see in Scripture, don't let him talk to you. You know, don't put him down because he's young. But he says, if Timothy comes, see that he has nothing to fear from you, because he is doing the Lord's work just as I am. Listen, let me tell you something. When someone is doing the Lord's work, and they're really doing it, get out of the way. Let them do what God's called them to do, because you don't want to be the stumbling block. You don't want to be one of those who oppose them. It's amazing how Satan uses good, godly people to be stumbling blocks for other Christians. When they go forward, and there's nothing wrong with questioning. There's nothing wrong with just saying, hey, what do you mean by that? Or, you know, what's the purpose? There's nothing wrong with that. But there is something wrong with, what are you doing? You're wasting your time. That's going to cost a lot of money. Who are you going to get to do that? So here's what happens. The Christian's starting to walk through that door. They're hearing the Lord. They're getting kind of pumped up a little bit. They hear the Lord, and they're getting their best friends, family, whatever, and they're butchering them. They don't even realize it. They think they're doing something good, but they're not. They're butchering them because this person heard from the Lord. They're doing it, and then they just want to turn around and go backwards. They want to quit. Don't think the world is the hindrance. It's the Christians that hinder one another. That's why Paul says, he should not fear anything from you. He should not fear anything from you, because he is doing the Lord's work. If there's anything, it should be, I don't understand what you're doing, but how can I help you? That doesn't happen here. But there's a lot that happens here. So I know sometimes some of us feel a little bit overburdened at times, but we don't have that part where, can I help you? There's a few. I hear it from time to time, but we need to be better in that area. And so what happens here, now these plans are going on, and so Paul is talking about these plans, and he's giving this piece here about Timothy, and it says no one should look down on him at all. No one should look down on him at all. Okay? But then in verse 13, or verse 12, he says, now about our brother Paulus, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brothers. This is the lead. This is it. He says, I'm telling you, I told Paulus he needs to come, but what did it say? But he was not willing to come now. Does it mean Paul was right because he's Paul? I urged him to come because he's higher? Or was Paulus, maybe God was doing something else with Apollos? But Paul saw that, hey, there's a need here, and I think Apollos needs to go there. But Apollos says, no, not right now. Maybe he's doing something else. Maybe something else is going on in his life right now. He says he's not willing to come. However, when we're Christians, we will try to find a way to make it work, right? We know what's about the Lord's. We will try to find a way it will work. However, it says he will come when he has an opportunity. I'm going to get there, man. I'm going to get there, but I can't do it today. You know what's going on with this group of people? They're trying to figure out how to do God's work. Does all this stuff happen? Does it all come to be? No, not all of it's going to come to be. It doesn't always work out the way that we think it's going to work out, but God has a way of making it work out. But he said, be alert. I want you to be alert. Be alert in the physical sense. Be alert in the spiritual sense. Stand firm in the faith. It's about your faith. This is some things that Paul is trying to encourage them with. These are the things that he's challenging them with. Act like a man, be strong, for every action must be done with love. What he's saying is be strong, don't wimp out. Don't quit at the first, don't walk away in the first storm. Anybody knows about storms, it'd be Paul, right? Don't walk away, don't quit. Stand up, be strong in it. Ministry, you got to be strong. You got to have some rhino skins. People are going to say things that hurt your feelings. You got to get through it. I don't believe anybody was more cursed and anybody was more shut down than Jesus Christ. Everybody just kept pointing fingers at him all the time, but he stayed the course. He finished what he needed to do. But in every action, this is the hardest one of all. Must be done with love. We got to do it with love. Paul says you got to do this with love. You have to do it with love. You have to do it in love. If you don't do it in love, you do it out of the flesh. We have to do it in love. If you have attitude, you step aside, take a walk, talk to the Lord. Maybe it's not that person. Maybe it's not someone. You've got to talk with the Lord. Work through it. You've got to work through that stuff. You have to work through it. I want to share some things here that I think that we're pretty good at. And you know, when it comes to planning and through what we saw with you know, here at New Life, there are some things that we're really good at. I think there's some things that we're really, really good at. But does that mean we're at the top-notch spot? No. But it means it's something we work at. I think it's really, we're trying to really be good at. There's other things that we're okay in. We're trying to work on those things. And there's those other things we go, oh, we drop the ball every time we pick it up. And there's a list of those things. Now, I'm not going to share. I was going to share those things with you today. But I don't want to share those with you because some of you will focus on the last part of the list. Because some of us, we just can't see the things that, you know, if you get a list of good things, you know, like, great, great. But once you get the list of the things we're not so good at, then people have a tendency just to plop right there and camp out and get negative and get discouraged. But I do want to share some things about change. So what's happening with Paul's travel is a lot of those things changed. But he still had a plan. Paul didn't go when he wanted to, but it was going to happen when the opportunity came. Timothy's going. Timothy's going to do what he's going to do. Paul's not going yet because he's going to stay in Ephesus because he's got some ministry to do because God opened the door and he opened it wide. Hey, you got to do it right now. So these guys were all in different places and moving around. And so there is change going on. Changes. And so plans don't always go the way that you think that they should. But let me tell you this. God has a plan. His plan is perfect. His plans are perfect. And God sees his plans through. But we are humans. We make plans. We quit our plans. We stop our plans. We make new plans when they get hard. But with the Holy Spirit, we can do things that we couldn't do in our own strength. And God calls us to do things that we wouldn't do before we were even saved, like being here today. But I want to share some things with you that I've shared with the staff a little bit, and I want to go through these a little bit. And so there's some changes that are coming up for us. COVID took a big hit. Okay, COVID gave everybody a big hit. It really did. Some of us wanted to wear masks. Some of us didn't. Let me tell you, I will give you applause on that one. I told you I wasn't going to talk about the full list, but some of them might come up. I just came from a conference over the week, this week, 3-day conference, and I want to tell you, there was a church that split right over wearing masks and not wearing masks. It's not the only one. Broke my heart. What did it tell me? Immaturity, Christians. Immaturity. Was any of that done with love? No. I'm going to pack it up and I'm going. I'm going to pack it up because we wore masks. I'm going to pack it up because we didn't wear masks. Devil had a heyday. He's having a heyday in this COVID thing. And I'd say this, how dare that? Tell us to make a choice. It's causing people, and we should not do that, to pick a side. I'm picking his side. There's a bigger picture than all this stuff. But it just broke my heart that I saw the church. This wasn't the only one that split over masks. It's amazing. But on June 6th, we're going to start back our Sunday school program. We're going to get back to it. Sunday school, June 6th. Talks to the teachers. Teachers are ready to go. Because our Sunday nights are going to... This is a little bit different message, as you can tell, this morning. But I just want to be informative to you. Some changes are going to happen. It's not one of those big fiery messages, but it's still, I need to have this message with you guys today because it's the best place for me and you all. We get the bigger crowd here on Sunday mornings. So, but the Sunday night Bible study will end the week before. The last one will be the week before Memorial Day Sunday. So anyway, we're getting ready to close out our Sunday nights. But June 6th, we will start, the following Sunday, we will start Sunday school. That will start at 9:30. All right? Breakfast bar will be open, so coffee will be back. Okay, I know some of y'all like the coffee thing. So that's going to come back. So those are easy changes. We'll get back to some of those. Praise team. I think we have a great praise team. I really do. We would do what we call, what is called canned music, which means it comes from CDs or it comes from online or whatever, but it comes through the speakers. We don't have live music. But we've been doing this for 20 years. 20 years. Now, here's the thing. In this church, we have ministries. We have these things that are going on. Usually when someone wants to, usually what happens in a church is they have the lead pastor finally, he's full time. And what happens, they go, oh, we need somebody else. So what they'll do is say, oh, we need a worship leader. So they go out and they hire a worship leader and I can play the piano and do youth, or play the piano and do nursery, or play the piano and do something else, or administrative or whatever. When we get that moment to hire, we don't hire like that. We hire in direct ministry. But I feel like the Lord has really been drawing me to really focus in on what's going on with the church and not just the ministry. He's focusing in. So there's a part here. I've talked to Ashley several times. I don't want to be pushy or whatever. I wanted to say, hey, what would it look like if we try to find someone that could play a piano? And who knows how we would start all that, or a keyboard or what have you, and start bringing in some of that live music. Now, what happens with change is this. Change brings... Push away because people don't like change. I will tell you, I don't think anybody does better the type of music the way we do it than what I think the praise team is doing it right now. They're at their very best right now. But there is a ceiling with it. And right now I believe that they are doing their best. You remember when Ashley first started singing? She's come a long way. She was good then, but she's even gotten stronger and better even up to today. But I think there's even more potential with our praise team, with the live band, than there is than what we're doing now. So here's what we can do. We can keep going in the way we're going and say, this is good. But why not be the best for the Lord that we can be? Which means push a little people, push a little push. Gets a little uncomfortable. But it's okay. Because we want to be the best that we can be for the Lord. Okay? It's not trying to be the best praise band in the community, but it's being the best praise team for the Lord and for the church. So what does that look like? I share, when I get some ideas sometimes, I talk to some mentors at WED, and I know that may cost a few dollars, but I had talked to a pastor in Ohio, and I just shared it, and he said, hey, he listened to me, and later that day, he sent this check, $1,500, to help with stipends, just to get it started. That's the kind of guy he is. So, there's money just to get it started, because somebody would say, well, how are we going to afford that? Well, the Lord gives us open doors, and He provides. You step in, and there's something there. You take a few more steps, and there's even something more there. And you take a step, and there's more there. And next thing you know, we have to move room back here, and you might have to share a mic, and then that's when people get upset. Or you might have to move in, or you might have to do that, or somebody might say it's a little loud, and we'll try to make sure it's the best that it is. We're not, but it's change. Change also is trying to get that, like I said, the two positions that we have. I have those sheets up here. One for the New Life Ministry, New Life Fellowship. It's a split job. It goes from both sides of the church and the ministries. It's administrative. It works with me. It's helping. Listen, folks, I can't find my desk still. I thought I had it on Thursday. I thought I had a hole where I could see my desk. I don't. It got bigger. And then there's the Men's Life House. There's the Men's Life House position. And if you want to know those, I'm going to lay those out here at the end. You can come up and pick one up. And that Men's Life House, listen, whatever you do on that Saturday, on the 15th, if you want to come and you want to, listen, you can come out and you can sit in your truck and yell at Phil, Phil, what do you need? I'll go get it. And you can run down to Ace and go get it. Or I can run over there and I can get, how many people you got today? I'll run down and I'll go get some waters. I'll go get some pops. We'll pay for that. But sometimes we need a runner. And then when we take somebody off the job, then that takes somebody off the job. It's got to go do the running. Well, that can only work for 2 hours. If you can only work for 2 hours, that's 2 hours that we didn't have. Unless you're one of those that like to gab a lot. But that's okay too. But we're going to need help on that for sure. There was a, like I said, this is a lot about changes. There was a, over this last year, we started, we started to start this little group, this little book group here piece. It was just a testing. It was a pilot. It was just a little pilot. And some people heard about it. And so basically what it was is it's a group of three or four couples or three or four people, five people in a group. And basically, they take a book and they read through it, and they meet, and they have fellowship and dinner, and then they meet again. They read another couple chapters the next month, and they meet again. And so I did one, and then I got Phil Jones and to get one. So me and Carla did one at our place, and then we had a couple people at their place, and then Phil and Pat, they had a group, and so people caught wind of that, and I would always say this: listen, it's a pilot. We want to see if it's going to work before we make it mass opening for it. But we are looking at doing that, starting that up in September. If we're able to start that in September, we're going to need, if somebody would like to be a part of that, they can be. But we're also going to need hosts, those kind of things like that. And if you have children, your group's going to have to figure that out. I don't know how to figure that out for you. So we'd have to figure out how we put those groups together. But if you're interested in that, we definitely want to hear from you. So that's a small fellowship book group, okay? It's not a Bible book. It's not a Bible study. Listen, there's Bible studies going on around here all the time. Sunday nights, Sunday school, the preaching, Wednesday night. Some of you, a lot of you have your own Bible studies. We're not trying to make another Bible study, but it is biblical as Christianity, and it's bringing back fellowship a little bit. We're working on a 20-year celebration coming up here in September. We already have the date. I don't have it here on there, but it's in September. I think it's just the weekend after. I think it's the weekend after Labor Day. What? Okay, so 10th, 11th, and 12th. That's a three-night piece. Friday night, we'll be celebrating the past. Sunday night, we'll be doing the present. And Sunday morning, we'll be celebrating the future. So we'll have some guests in doing those kind of things, some music, lots of eating, and things like that. That's coming up. Prayer time. Prayer is a big piece. I believe we need to have more emphasis on prayer in our services. We don't have enough prayer in this church. So prayer emphasis, we're going to be working on that. Definitely want to be working on that. If you have any ideas, let me know. Spring banquet, I just kind of slipped this in. We're having a spring banquet on May 20th if you want to go. There is a couple of brochures and stuff out there, but it is May 20th. Get to hear a lot about the ministries. You can talk to Scott about reserving a spot. And also the need for Christian counseling and coaching. We need to get this up. We need to get it up sooner than later, but it takes time. So I have some material if you want to be part of it. If you want to learn about being a biblical counselor or biblical coaching. Now, here's the thing. It is great to have the masters. It is great to have those things. But there are some areas where that is teaching where you can do this stuff online and not have to go through years and years and years of it. Listen, one, you need to have some common sense. Number two, you need to be have this gift of discernment a little bit. And you need to put the word of God as number one. You don't have to be a genius. And you have to be a good listener. Can't fall asleep on somebody when they're talking to you. You don't have to have the problem. Listen, this is the biggest lie of the devil. You don't have to have the problem to help somebody has the problem. You don't have to have the same problem. It might help you a little bit, but it doesn't have to. You don't have to have the same problem. Listen, if you're not careful and you had a problem, you can lean on that problem. And you can use it in the wrong way. Even if you're through it, you can use it in the wrong way. But opportunities for getting into Christian counseling, I have some brochures on that. You can actually get it done in less time than you think. You can get it done, I believe, in six to 8 months out of your own home. The other part is we need to have passion. We need to get our passion back. A passion for the lost. Some of you guys used to bring up names for lost people. Some of you guys used to bring in people and visitors and those kind of things. Listen, the church needs to grow. God's the one who gives the growth. But if we're not planting and we're not watering, then there is no growth. Now listen, I'm going to remind you, healthy things grow, but also unhealthy things grow if you don't deal with them. So I think it's an unhealthy thing that we're doing, and that's growing in our church, becoming non-evangelistic. We need to be sharing the gospel. We need to be open. We need to be more active when we're out there. And then we need more workers. The Bible says, Jesus says, hey, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We're to pray for the harvest. We pray for workers. We need more nursery workers. And that's a hard place to get workers in the nursery. But this church right now does three times a week where we need nurseries. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I'll close out for a couple of months while we'll be back to it, and then Wednesday night. And sometimes it's difficult to find nursery workers. Listen, I do the nursery every now and then, but it lets me connect with little ones so I don't become way over them. And I'm just a scary guy that walks around and stands in front of everybody, and I want to get down with them. And I always have a good time with them. I'm going to tell you, I always have a good time with them. But nursery can be fun. But it's not fun when you go in every week and you're missing the sermons and you're missing the worship. So there's got to be a balance. Or the same person, when someone can't come in, or even with children's church, they can't come in, and the same person gets, oh, it's a text. Oh, no, I know what they're going to ask. And it all becomes, I don't really want to do it. So you do it grudgingly. And there's no blessing in that, because then you have a tendency to get grouchy and grumpy. So with some of the things we talked about, with music, we talked about evangelism, gospel, a lot of these other things, our church needs to grow because we need more workers. In one sense, we need to see people saved, but we also need more workers. We need more workers. I'm not telling you to do more. I'm just throwing it out at you. Only the Lord will. Only the Lord to touch your heart in that way. Now, you know what? There's a lot more, but this is some of the plans. Now, is it all going to go perfectly right? No. Some of these going to make adjustments? Yeah. I'm going to talk to the church about doing donuts on Sunday morning, Sunday school only hour. Just Sunday school. Yeah, Scott, that's going to be in the budget possibly. We'll see if you guys let it happen. But just donuts in the morning. Just during the Sunday school hour. Y'all want New Life to be the best it can be? We're kind of plateaued a little bit. We're kind of just like, oh, we're being happy with good. And we're not trying to outperform anybody. We're just trying to do what God's called us to do. But what did he say? Jesus says this, I know your works, because you have limited strength. And we have limited strength. And you've kept my word. Listen, I believe the preachers that preach here are preaching God's word. I do. I believe that. I believe the teachers that are teaching on Sunday nights are preaching God's word. I believe that. I don't believe that we've denied his name. I don't believe the preachers or teachers have denied the Lord's name. So I see that we have limited strength. We really do. We're not a crowd of 500. We're not a crowd of 100 every week. But wouldn't you like to see 100 in here on Sunday? There were two Sundays while we were in this building. One, we had 144. That was an Easter. Could you imagine 144? How many people we got today? You know, Scott, or not? 50. So double that. Wow. And then there was a Sunday we had 149. I mean, 149, we triple what we got today. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be awesome? You won't know everybody. That's a good thing. He says, I know you have limited strength. You've kept my word. And you've not denied my name. Isn't it seem like he's looking for something? Looking for faithfulness, obedience. But he says, look, I have placed before you an open door that no one is able to close. So God has opened up a door for the church of Philadelphia. And I believe when we're looking at these seven churches, this is New Life. God has opened us an open door that no one can close. So it all rests in, are you willing to walk through the door? And I believe we're already in the door. But sometimes the voice calls us to go further in the room. I have placed before you an open door that no one is able to close, which tells us this, there are no excuses when it comes to serving the Lord. Paul said there are open doors been open to me, a big open door, but there are many who oppose me. And even in these scriptures later on, it says that Jesus knows those who oppose this group of people. So it's going to be a little pushback. Maybe from some of you. I hope not, but could be. Because sometimes we do things not in love. Sometimes we say things out of jealousy and envy. And that shouldn't be. But God has a lot of mercy, and we'll work through it the best that we can. Sometimes it's a position in the church. Those are going to rise up in the church in the future, even right now, that you might not get it. You got to be grown up enough in the Lord to say, oh, I didn't get it. It's okay. I still love Pastor Jimmy. I still love New Life. I still love the church family. When you get angry with your pastor, you better have a good reason. When you get angry with your church, you better have a good reason. Because the church is called, the pastor is called, the deacons are called. And if you're just sitting there and all you're doing is getting angry, you better look in the mirror and say, Lord, I'm angry. Look at me first. And just remember, we get judged harder because we're called. A lot of plans. Not sure if they're all going to come to be. But I know this. If you don't make plans, you don't go anywhere. Sometimes you got to wait for the right opportunity, like Apollos. Sometimes you got to go and be strong, because there could be a little bit of fear, like pushing Timothy. I'm young. Sometimes you got to be like Paul and you got to say, you know what, I'm doing this, but boys, I'm not going to be able to do that because right now there is a ministry right now and I am buried into it. Changes are happening. And my question for you today is, with these changes, number one, are you willing to work alongside the church when the changes may not be so what you think they should be? Because you're looking at the bigger picture. Maybe in that you might be asking, Lord, where am I at in these changes? I've been kind of sitting. Maybe in these changes, I need to change my attitude. Maybe in these changes, it's time for me to step up. You know, those old ships, the old Viking ships, those guys that would be doing those oars. When now a lot of them were chained, but a lot of them were not. When it came and one of them ships would be sinking, who do you think had the strength to make it to the shore? The one that was just standing there telling everybody what to do? Or the one that built muscle every day? They're the ones that had it. They're the ones that can go the distance. So my question is to make sure that you are where you need to be with the Lord. You, where you need to be in serving the Lord. Every Christian needs to be serving the Lord. I don't care. Every Christian needs to be serving the Lord somewhere in something that God's called them to do. Listen, if another church believes in what we're doing, and we get stacks of churches, churches across the country sending money, people sending money to what we do, they get it. We ought to get it even more. Amen? Amen? I know Ashley wants to hear you all get a little bit more into the music. It's not being fake, but more into the worship. I know, right? We want to be more. We've talked about that. I know the men's group and the women's group and the Bible, we want more instead of just the same. We want more people need to come into those Bible groups. What's always awesome is, hey, there's not enough room in our Sunday school class. We need more chairs. That's an awesome piece. It's awesome when someone takes your spot in the pew. That's the best laugh I got. You're going to be the loudest on that today? I've heard it so many, and I love all of you all. I want you to know I love you very much, but I've heard it so many. Somebody's sitting in my spot. Honey, somebody's sitting in our spot. Where are we going to sit? I don't know. And they get all this spot. I don't know. You know what I tell you? Take somebody else's spot. Because I can look in certain spots like, I know Bob's going to sit there. I know Carl's going to sit there. I know Gary's going to sit there. I know everybody's going to sit. I know Brittany's going to sit in the back. Steve's going to sit over there. Shoemaker's going to sit over there. I know. And it feels weird sitting somebody else, somewhere else. But sometimes in change, it's kind of like that. But it's okay. I believe the best years of New Life are still yet to come. Because that's how big and how good God is. Can we just stand today? We're going to go ahead and stand. Let's go ahead and stand.